It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Charlotte Mensah's amazing. She's like a hair guru. She's not a hairdresser.
And she's sort of always been there, but I didn't know of her great work for the just until 5 years ago. Do you know what she does? She changes the language and the approach to the black hair industry and the way black women look at their hair, and the rest of the world looks at black women and their hair.
And beauty.
And beauty. It's like, I don't think you understand how fundamental repositioning is, because this is an industry that is worth billions, billions of pounds, but it has been positioned since incarnation, the black British beauty industry, in a sort of unorganised, unsophisticated...
Well, it's never been really controlled or the narrative by black
women. By us.
Black people.
Yes.
So Charlotte is absolutely instrumental in changing the entire structure of the black British beauty industry. She's like the cornerstone.
Amen.
Essentially. And she has helped women to understand and liberate their beauty.
I have long plaits and my mum has...
no hair.
No hair, a barlet. And it's still important to both of us, black beauty.
Yeah.
When it comes to your hair, as a black woman and a mixed race girl, it's just like one of the first conversations you start having with yourself.
So most women of colour, in my experience, have been twisting and turning,
yes,
and bending and tweaking and pulling themselves, trying to desperately become this thing that we would never be. And only in the last 10, 15 years has that started to change in terms of an intrinsic, basic gut, heart feeling. And it's a very beautiful thing to witness, because it's not just hair, it's heart. Somebody today said to me, how would I describe you?
Oh.
And I described you, and I thought, I feel like you're a hair liberation artist.
Oh.
That's how I would describe you, because it's more than hairdressing.
Hair. Mm-hmm.
This is about heart, hair, body, soul, mind. And, you know, to me, you're like our foundation stone.
Oh.
You're like our touchstone for black British beauty. Because, you know, when I grew up, there wasn't a black British beauty industry.
Yeah.
There wasn't a black British beauty aesthetic in the way that there is now.
Mm.
And the work that you've done to build that ladder for us, that building, that church for us, is invaluable. It's like, it's so powerful, Charlotte. I just want to say thank you.
Honestly, I feel so emotional, because the actual salon 100 years ago used to be a chapel.
No.
Yeah, so when you said church, I'm like, wow. Where we are, the particular salon, used to be, I think the nuns lived upstairs, and the actual part that we're working in was a chapel where they prayed. And that's why people come there and they're like, oh my God, I feel so relaxed.
It's more than a salon,
it's
isn't
more
it?
Than,
Let us give you some food.
Yes,
so shall I tell you what we've made? We've made plantain waffles.
Ooh, that looks amazing.
And fried chicken with an orange and ginger syrup, and also a chicken gravy.
Mm.
And then there's pickled okra and a black cumin seed and a sweetheart cabbage slaw, like limey slaw.
Wow, I'm going to go in.
I think I'm going to have this piece right here.
You
born in London and then 3 months go in the Moses basket to Ghana to be raised by your grandparents. That's a lot. I didn't know any of that.
Do you
know
so that was what you knew?
Because I think my parents had got here like around 62. Between, I think my dad came first, so maybe my mum would have joined in 66. And I think they lived in one room in Maidenvale.
Oh, yeah.
My mum said that it was just so hard. So she's already got like, I'm the sixth child, so she's already left five in Ghana.
Right, goodness.
And then there's her and my dad working around the clock. By the way, my dad used to be a musician, so he was like literally just couldn't believe how hard this country was because he survived just playing music and is living at home in Ghana.
Yeah.
Everything was fine and affordable.
Yeah.
They get here, they have to pay for everything.
Whole different story.
Plus, look after all the kids back home, plus their siblings.
So they've got
to
be making
to send
that
money every month.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Working round the clock. And my mum just said also the neighbours, they kept complaining that I was crying too much. Uh-huh. And I think they kept complaining. My mum just started
too
getting
much.
Depressed.
So the plan was maybe to have you here and then it just became to have you grow up and it just
became
too difficult.
Yeah, but I think there was another option where a lot of the parents that they knew, like West African, Nigerians and Ghanaian, they were taking their kids to out of London for foster care.
I know about this.
Yeah,
I know
that
about
was
this.
Deep. So my mum just thought, do you know what? There's no way I can just have my, I can't live in London and have my child in like Birmingham or
Gloucestershire
or something
totally
for
weird.
Months. And then I only see them every 3 months.
Mm.
God, so that's what people
hard.
Were doing.
So they decided that you
so
were going
to
go.
So they decided that the best option would be to go back to Accra. And actually, it was the best thing because growing up in Ghana was so different when I compare it to my kids growing up in Lubbock
Grove. What was it? Sounds like there was a lot of you.
There was, so because my grandmother had 8 children.
Right.
And my mum was the first to leave. And all of them were married with kids.
Wow.
So it was like, it's like 7 different families living together in the house.
A heap of people.
So it was like, it was a vibe. It was like very orderly though, because she was this prayerful woman. You know, when I watch you guys on
the Caribbean documentary.
That documentary, listen, in the salon was like a thing. Everyone.
It was amazing.
Everyone would come and they would have it on their phone. Oh my God,
goodness.
It was such an inspiring, like the way you did it as well, and there's such, the love between you and your daughters, honestly, is so infectious. Like, people come and say, I wish I could be like that with my daughter. But I'm like, we need to go to Andy's school to teach us.
No. Andy's School of Parenting.
Yeah. That would be amazing, actually.
That really would.
So it was very...
No, thank you, Charlotte. That means so much. And I really felt it that week when I came
it
in.
It was deep.
It was beautiful. I felt like hit by all that love. And again, it's like because of the way your salon is and the way people come in, it's like community, church, religion,
everything.
Comfort.
You know, like because everyone had been in that lockdown and all of that loneliness and just seeing the two of you on the road and even the people that you were speaking to, the communities there was that connection. And I think that's what's lost in this society. So watching that gave people a bit of power, like I can get myself back, you know. I don't have to fall into this depression. I think a lot of the clients that were coming in were quite depressed.
So how was that for you? So, because your business you've had for a really long time now. Like, I don't know, I don't want to get this wrong, but was it 99 where you got the place in Kilburn or 99 Portobello?
Oh my God, you guys are so good. 99 was in Kilburn.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I was also really interesting because you're just always around West, all different parts of West, and that's what I know.
Yeah, so what happened was all that primary years in Ghana was amazing. Grandma had a big clay oven. She would bake all the breads, made cakes, biscuits. She had a big, it's like this lovely house right now. It's like big garden in the front, bigger one at the back.
Yeah. Wow.
So she reared all her chicks, like all the chickens. Like everything was so self-sufficient. We never bought anything.
Right.
She made everything. She grew everything. We ate from the garden. It was so idyllic.
She sounds extreme.
Oh, she was such a power.
Yeah.
Such a powerful woman. Mary. And she named my mother Love.
Oh.
So that was her daughter, like she doted on because all the first two kids were boys. And my mum was like the warrior. She was so strong. She was just like, no nonsense. I mean, she died at 42, but had 8 kids.
Wow.
Like you could see in her stance, like she's no.
Yeah, come on,
she
love.
Was,
just come.
Yeah.
just
What a great thing.
I love that.
So grandma was very, like, she was a Wonder Woman, but also very orderly as well. Like, you couldn't mess around. Yeah. There was a lot of us, loads of cousins.
It's the only way she could be in that, I suppose.
And then my grandfather, on the other end, was the businessman who was running a brewery. But because the way Ghana was at that time, it was still developing in certain areas. So we were the only family in that area. So everywhere else would be like loads of bushes. Then gradually people started coming to the area. So,
oh, right, so it was developing.
It was developing. That's why it was a big novelty when I turned up in the Moses basket. I was like, what? Who's this in the church?
Jesus has arrived. Jesus is finally here.
So it was very much like a big thing, you know. Yeah. So people knew about me. They were coming, where's that girl that came in a basket? Where's that chubby girl? We've always had these chubby cheeks. And my granddad was also very proud. Like, he wanted everyone to, oh, this child came from London. Have you been there before, Britain? You know how everyone
wanted. Yeah.
So he was very proud and he took me everywhere.
The interview that I saw, someone said, the lady said, were you the only black person in your class? And you went, no, and I knew you wouldn't have been. It's that, it was that difference that I know, and I don't know, mum.
It's different for me because I grew up in Suffolk.
Right.
Oh, so what? So London, how old were you?
When I arrived from Accra, I was 11, and I was like shocked at everyone because I was like, they walk too fast, they don't smile.
Right.
You know, everyone looks so serious. What's going on, you know? Then I get into, like, my mum's now living in Stonebridge, no longer with my dad. Had another child, my brother, and a younger sister. So I get to Stonebridge, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is like a bloody prison.
Gone into Stonebridge. That's real.
This is like 1981. All you see is a blocks of flats.
Yeah.
I remember my mum was trying to get catalogues, and they would say, oh, no, you have to give it to your friend's address in Queen's Park or...
Because they wouldn't send stuff.
It's blacklisted. The ambulance wouldn't even come.
No.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Then, what a shock. That must have been such a culture shock.
It was. I just kept, you know, every day I cried and I would be just trying to get out of the door to say, please, I just want to go back.
Send me back.
I can't stay here. And I think because I got here in November and school didn't start till January, it was a long time. Don't get me wrong, Ghana is busy. It's, you know, but it's busy with joy. It's not, this place was busy, but busy with sadness almost. It's like, and I felt like the government just probably just plunged them all together in one place.
They did used to do that because when Makita was little, they sent us to live in White City, and I know the vibe you're talking about because she was born in 84.
Yeah.
So 84, we were living in White City. Similar vibe. Just you just feel like you're under quite a kind of heavy boot.
It's honestly, and for me, I don't know that. All I know is like kind of joyful playing outside,
connectivity,
connecting. You know, we meet our friends after school. We go to church. There was always joy, always sharing.
So when did things start to turn? When did you start to fall in love? Because I know what London's like. It gets you.
It gets you. I love it now. But I think I only sort of started liking it. Obviously, I was bullied a lot as well because I had an accent, walked into school, my hair was short. And everyone's like, are you African? You boo-boo? Are you from the jungle? People kicking you, spitting on you. It was crazy. No, I mean, just literally really treating you like rubbish. Like,
this is our other black kids as well, right? So kids from Caribbean homes?
Yeah, so this is what I was going to say. In my era, in the early 90s, being in primary school and stuff, the African kids were tortured, tormented by the whole school,
but especially the
black kids.
10 years before that, in the 80s, that was even harder. Because even, do you know what was the worst thing as well? Like, I know some of the kids... surname and it sounded Ghanaian, like Boateng or something. And I'd be like, are you from Ghana? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
And you're like, but honestly, you look like me and your name is definitely Ghanaian, but they didn't even want to know me either.
Yeah.
And what made it worse also was when the teachers took me and some other kids from Bangladesh and they'll put us into another room. They'll call it like language centre. I'm like, I can speak English. Why do I need to go into language centre? But you know, you're 11 years old. Right. You're like,
language centre.
Yeah.
They're not even trying.
So because we were othered, that gave the other students
permission.
More ammunition. And the attacks were like...
Yeah, so nobody wants to be in the special class, do they?
Can I ask, would Caribbean kids be put in that
language?
No.
But I think
if it was a Caribbean kid that came from the Caribbean at the same time as me, maybe.
Right, but they're all black British.
Yeah, but they were all like... And also, I think just the way I looked, short hair.
Yeah.
They all had the bright
dark-skinned.
Yeah, dark-skinned. They all had the cornrows with the beads.
I also remember you saying that you... That in Ghana at the time, everyone as kids to focus on schoolwork was encouraged and stroke told to have only 2-inch long hair.
Yeah.
So everyone looked kind of army like the same.
Yeah, we all looked the same. And nobody really, vanity wasn't a thing. It was just like, who is going to be first at this? Who's going to be? Yeah, it was achievement. It was about your skills, your ability, your knowledge. That's what they wanted from us. So. And you went home and you played. You didn't even think about, oh, my hair's short.
Yeah, no, of course.
And if you look at all African kids, like, the boy and the girl all look the same.
So, honestly, Charlotte, that is a lot of big change for, like, a little kid to go through.
When you're going through, you don't even know. You're just like, I just need to survive. Yeah. So, just when I had a fight and then, obviously, you know, won the fight, everyone's like, oh, you're amazing.
So, then obviously, I won the fight. Obviously, athlete there.
Is that what you said? I didn't even hear that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, obviously, I won. Yes, thank you.
Standard. I mean, because you're going to get pushed so far.
Exactly. And then you're like, listen, I just need to just...
I'm over. It's over.
I'm really going to tell you who I really am.
Nice.
Yeah. But you don't think like that. You just like... So then it stopped. And then I started making friends. Life was becoming nice. I'm enjoying schoolwork. You know, we'll have our school discos. Everyone got to dress up. You're kind of in now. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, she's cool.
And what did you start doing with your hair at this point?
And then my mum started braiding it and threading it. Well, the threading, I got bullied for that. So we switched from the threading.
Can you explain what threading is to people?
So threading is when you use cotton. It's a form of, like, braiding. And you kind of do, like...
shapes.
Geometric shapes, and you can turn them into like
you can twist
different.
It
yeah.
and do it. So it's almost like it's wired.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And I mean, I got laughed at for the same hairstyle I did for Erykah Badu in 2017, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is amazing.
And you're like, wow.
You're like, this has gone viral. I'm like, oh my God.
Late as usual.
I went through so much pain for the same hair, but now it's like it's fashion.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Your daughter is 22. Right. Okay. Yeah. So living in a completely different landscape in this country.
Yeah.
Brought up where I was brought up in Havergrove, but with a very different experience, I think, because of just you see so much more. Because I would always look at Americans when I was very young, just to as guidance of like, not even like hairstyles. I was just watching SWV and TLC and hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
Anything to just show
me.
Just what they were up to. And and also just a world where their hair was sort of celebrated a bit more.
It was like black people just doing stuff.
They
weren't like necessarily being black. They were just doing stuff.
It was nothing to do.
Fighting with their mom or going to school.
Mr. Cooper was just a basketball coach.
it was a very, actually, when I think about it, it was really black excellence that time.
Yes.
You know,
in America.
In America. We had Different Strokes. We had all of these shows that really made you feel like, oh my God, I used to love watching the kids of Degrassi Street. And like, there was so, it was such a mix of every kind of person. There was so much other things once I
you could turn to.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, that you could draw from.
So is that where you were looking when you started to do hair?
Yeah,
America.
I think it was more when my mum used to do my hair. My sister said, and then, sadly for me, my mum passed away when I was 13. So yeah, that was really hard. So I felt like I became a bit of a mum to my sister who was 3. And I'll do her hair. So I think a lot of the shows and the magazines were like my joyful time, because I'll look at them and think, oh, I could do this. This woman looks happy. Mm-hmm. You know, she looks nice. And those, like that inspiration and the fashion and the fantasy of trying to create it took me out of my own misery and my grief. Mm-hmm. So it made me really happy doing hair. So I naturally just
stepped towards that.
And then when the careers officer came to my school at 15, I was like, yeah, I think I want to do hairdressing. We were fortunate that we got into one of the first black salons to open in the UK, Splinters.
Splinters! So I've never heard about Splinters.
No. We are obsessed.
Really? We need to create a Splinters.
What 100%. Is Splinters?
Splinters. It was on Maddox Street.
In town?
In town.
In London, in town.
Listen,
Three floors.
Winston Isaacs, special man, amazing human, came from Guyana at the age of 10. People flew in from everywhere. This salon was like the epic center. It's a bit like what I've got, but mine is obviously just one small floor. But can you imagine?
Charlotte Mensa times 3 floors.
I don't understand how I did not know about this.
Really?
I didn't know Nanny.
With your young child.
So where did you guys go?
Nowhere.
You probably had your aunties and mums doing
that. No, my aunties and mums weren't here. They were all over the place.
Do you know what? We used to do each other's hair. This is important.
Yeah.
This is why, because we don't have a great relationship when it comes to like my hair, because I've been through.
Right.
I've just always wanted to talk about it. I was always unhappy with it. And I now know that I think it's probably very hurtful.
Yeah.
Not just as a mum, like my kid doesn't like their hair, but to see your child disregard such a huge part of themselves for so long. So I know that's why you're like, I don't want to talk about this for so long.
I don't want to talk about it. This is her narrative.
Your energy tells me.
Oh.
She was like, we should talk to Charlotte about how she talks with her daughter about hair. I was like, yeah, I'm sure it's very different.
I think for me, like when Makita started to reject her hair, that was like watching my child reject herself. And it's like watching, you know, when you watch your kid making the mistakes you've already made, it's really, that is a difficult and painful thing to watch, isn't it? Because you want to change it because you know how that's going to make them feel. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. It's a really, but that way disaster-ized. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But so, they do say experience is the best teacher.
Yeah, you have to let them get it. You have to let them do it for themselves. Yeah. So for me, I think what you pick up on is that it was difficult for me to hear you talk like that. Not that I didn't want to hear it. If you see what I mean. I just found it painful. You know, that's all. That's all, I think.
It's a lot. Because even with me, like I said, like all that bullying and, you know, being shamed about my hair and everything, it was weird sometimes when I think, like, how did I even end up doing hair? Because I was traumatized by my own hair and how I looked. And now I'm in this beauty industry. So it's almost like sometimes your steps are ordained, like.
And also the fact that you have been through it, I think is really important.
Yeah.
Because it means that you have an empathetic connection to the people you're talking to.
Yeah. You understand how important hair can be to someone.
It's so deep. It's so deep. Like I just did this interview with a young girl that I met from Sweden. She came to me at the age of 13 from Sweden to get her hair done. And she was bullied as well because she was the only mixed-race child in her whole town. And she was like, you know, when she came to me, she's never even had a conversation with a black person before. Honestly, I'm going to post it today. I cried when we just documented. We went all the way to Ghana to film some of it.
Oh.
So it's 27 years of our life together. And now she's like a huge photographer going around the whole world.
Wow.
Photographing black women, Africans.
Oh, wow.
What a story.
Yeah, it's so deep.
And she was how old when you met her?
13. She's going to be 40.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
and the way she wrote the story, it was like, oh, my God.
But so I really understand that. I was saying, we were just saying before you came that you know, our beautiful producer, T, said to us, just quickly, in 1 minute, explain all your hairstyles. And me and Mum both did it. And then I realised that the ones we both ended on, that we landed on, when Mum shaved her head and when I started plaiting my hair again, was the months prior to both of our careers going
stratospheric.
But it was really interesting. It was like, because there is, it opens you up to who you can be when you start to like who you are.
Exactly. Hair is very, very important. But it's also like your spiritual mind, your emotions, your... Everything is all kind of aligned.
Connected.
Yeah. I feel like the hair is so powerful. Like in the Bible, you have Samson, all his strength.
Right.
In places like Ghana, like I remember when my brother passed away and his wife, she had to have all her hair shaved off.
And she didn't want
to. And her hair was long.
That's different.
But that was the tradition. You have to let go and all of this stuff. It's a ritual. You have to be like that for like 2 years.
So it's part of the grieving process. Wow.
That's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because for me, shaving my head was very liberating.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot of sad, you know, I carried a lot of sadness.
Yeah.
You know, I lost my brother. Yeah. I went through all sorts of weird things. And I feel you saying that made me go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it was so liberating for me. It was like divesting myself of all of this baggage.
And also the hair that we're all carrying is old. Honestly, the hair, maybe just 2-3 inches from the roots to...
All the rest dead.
All the rest dead. And we're using creams and potions
to make it nice.
But actually, it's like our nails. We're always filing it off. It's like your plants, you prune it, you get rid of all that. But the way we were sort of brainwashed to think that we needed to look a certain way to be beautiful as black women, we have this attachment to hair that nobody else has.
Nobody
Absolutely.
Else has.
Nobody
don't
else
touch
has.
A black woman's hair, don't mess with it, don't even...
But also it's because of what we've been through with it.
Yeah.
I think that leads me to what I wanted to ask you about, which was I wanted to talk about how important I think it's been to see Charlotte Mensa, you know, Inc., as the brand, which is a word used, you know, too flippantly these days, but you really have created
the
something.
The word brand,
you really have created something very special, Charlotte. And what I love is that it's made the black British beauty industry have sophistication and sort of that luxury feel, and it feels organised and looked after.
And powerful.
And powerful. Yeah. And all these things that I don't think that we get to align with our industry, which is worth billions. Isn't it worth billions?
Billions.
But when I still find it traumatic, because sometimes I like my hair a bit longer and
I'll put some
blonde bits in the bottom, so I don't want to bleach my hair after
hair,
it took this bloody long.
Yeah.
And when I go to shop for hair, it is traumatic. It's like, here we go.
Yeah.
And it's because it's run by people that aren't us and they don't care. For you, putting the making that chart in your book about the different textures and the different ways our hair can look rather than fix this awful problem, that was huge, I think, for everyone. Definitely my generation. Everyone was like, oh my God. Suddenly everyone was asking themselves questions about, like, which one are you?
Yeah.
Did you find out if you're 40 or you checked?
This is seismic change.
I still go around East London to huge places. Like, these places are massive and it's still B17 and a box under the desk.
I love it. B17.
One B, the bane of my life. Going in like this with the shakes. Like, do you have 1B in a blah blah curl? Yeah. They're like, maybe. Yeah. And then they're literally like in the bin.
Yeah.
Some dusty old.
And you're
box
like,
the
if there was a chart with an organized level of your curl, the curl you're looking for, and the color. That would be a powerful change in the way we see how looking after ourselves, how important it is. It's literally like, why are you looking after yourself? I've got your hair under the fucking desk. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah. I mean, even the idea that there could have been a shape and a direction for me to reference as being black and beautiful when I was growing up is complete anathema to me. It just didn't exist, you know. We know I would get, like, Jackie magazine, you know, which was like my favourite tea magazine.
Or
Bunty, all of them.
Wow, well, that sounds like there are no black people in
there. I mean, definitely none. And they'd go, this is every type of English girl, and there'd be loads of white girls with blonde hair to dark brown hair, and that would be a lot, do you know what I mean? Or they'd have, like, a colour chart of the lips. There was never never any reflection of myself anywhere. No. So I think that's, you know, when I come back to the idea of rejecting yourself, because there was never any notion that anything I could ever look like had beauty. And I'm not talking about being pretty.
No.
I'm talking about owning yourself and feeling like you have the right to be, to exist, and to want things for yourself. That's what beauty is, really, isn't it?
It's
feeling empowered to be yourself. Mm. You know, that just wasn't a thing for me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is what we mean is
thank you.
It's vital, because I just think about how different it's going to be.
Yeah, for the next...
For this next generation. You know, when they walk down the high street and they see clothes shops, H&M or whatever, and they're like dark-skinned black girls.
Right, yeah.
All shades of, you know, Asian girls and Chinese girls.
Can you imagine, mankind.
Yes, all of us displayed. And in a way, I've always thought, but it's just bad business.
Yeah.
Don't they realise how many of us there are?
And how much money there is to be made. I don't understand. Look after us and we can all, you know...
We'll spend our money. We love spending money.
It's true.
We spend the money when it's under the under the desk.
But, in a dusty box.
But I think also we're more confident now as well to, like, stand on our own two feet.
And say what we want.
And say what we want.
Ask for what we want.
Yeah, and ask for what we want. Because I think years ago, it's like, there was nobody that you can even say, oh my God, there's Charlotte Mentor. Or there's this person, there's Andy, there's Makita, I can be like them. You didn't see it. So, like you said, the next generation, it's going to be fire.
It's going to be fire. Yeah.
It makes me sad when I think about it, but it's like, you know, we have been willing historically for our health to suffer in pursuit of this, like, sort of Eurocentric beauty paradigm. You know what I mean? It's like our health, our mental health, our physical health, burning everything. Our scalps, or, you know, bleaching our skin, trying to bend ourselves.
I don't know. I think that thing is the psychological... Because this bleaching thing, sometimes when I'm in Ghana, I'm like, what are you people doing?
What do you mean? Does it still exist?
Yeah,
big time. I saw a lady the other day, she was a model, a dark-skinned model. She was like our kind of colour, and she bleached her skin so much. And
you could see it.
It really literally brought a tears to my eyes because she was going... But it's like having a weave. And I was thinking, no, this is deeper.
No, it's a lady on TV, that's
right. Yes. Yeah. I was like, this is deeper than having a weave. Deeper. I'm sorry, right? But you're literally
Do you know what? I've realised that there's a lot of generations, like the grandmother did it, the mum did it, the kids. So it's like a ritual in their families. When you try and talk about it, like I've seen people when I'm in Ghana, like last year, then I'll see them at Christmas. I'm like, what happened to you? Like Beyonce now.
Oh, right.
And it's so...
So awful.
And it looks raw. It looks like the skin looks thin.
Like, that's what I mean.
It looks like the skin is weeping.
Yes. It's deep. Real brainwashing. Yeah, it's real deep brainwashing. And I'm really so hopeful for the next generation coming up.
But I think also a lot of the stuff was coming from, like, back home even. Like, for you to get a really good job, you have to be, like, light skin or...
Of course. Yes.
They would not give... Do you know what I mean? So I think in their head,
same
it's
in
like,
the Caribbean. Same in the Caribbean. If you went into
the back,
everybody in there had, like, you know, the good hair or whatever they used to call it, the good hair and lighter skin and American tan tights, like that colour. You know, in that heat, I'm like, oh, that's got a chafe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Knowing all this, does it inform kind of the way you want to do things next? What do you want to do next, Charlotte?
Do you know what? I love education. I love teaching people.
Because you have a charity.
And I love people just to be able to help themselves, because teach them that professionalism, that standard, so they can help themselves, and then the next generation, they could teach them. And I would love to do more documentaries. Like, I did one for CNN and I loved it.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
Yeah, I love traveling as well.
Was it about hair and
Hair and helping the women. So what happened with the charity was, I'll be going back and forth to Ghana. And some of these young girls.
Yeah,
it's named after my mum, Love Na Denswa.
Oh.
Yeah, so her name's Love and her Ghanaian name is Na Denswa, which is named after the river. Very powerful river, actually. So I named the charity after her. And I think during the pandemic, I spent a lot of time in Ghana, so I took it more serious then. And I set up a small little workshop under a tree. And these girls would message me on Instagram and we'd get together. We started with like 3, now we have like 18.
Wow.
One of them just opened her first shop.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's been so good.
So she's in doing service.
Yeah. So it's like that, you know, that giving back.
Yeah.
But I learned so much from them as well, because you meet some of them at 16, they've got like 3 kids.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's tough.
I think that's a really good point, actually, that people talk a lot about, like, I'm giving back. And yeah. I think it's so important to live in that way.
Yeah.
But actually, what can we learn from exactly. the lives they, from
other yeah. people, other people's experiences yes. and other people's
and,
lives?
And the thing is that, you know, having kids young and whatever is because of poverty.
Yes.
Because, you know, their parents, oh, this man is nice, he's got a good job, is bringing some food on the table for the family. Yeah. And the thing is, if you don't break that cycle, the 16-year-old, the 2 kids, they're going to be the same.
The same.
So by you giving them some skills, some tools to actually stand on their own 2 feet and say, look, I actually don't need to go with this man. I'll take my time, meet the right person and start my life then. So I feel it gives them that power.
Yeah.
And they've seen me as well, who's come from Ghana.
Exactly.
And made something of my life. So they know it's possible.
So how do you, because this is really interesting to me, like you said, Makita, the word brand is bandied around so much now. But how do you turn an idea into form and then turn that into actual personal empowerment and something very real?
Do you know what? Sometimes I don't even know how all these things happen.
I didn't even say that. But it's because you didn't have
rolling with it.
Yeah, not even just rolling with it, but I think I've always been quite business savvy anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was first like a junior stylist, I used to travel a lot to Italy, and a friend of mine, she used to always buy for like Liberty and stuff. And then we'll go together and I'll buy a couple of shoes, a couple of bags, and I'll sell it to the clients just for like extra, because sometimes the hair is slow.
Yep.
People not getting their hair done. So I think I've always been a bit of like...
Hustler.
Like that sounds like a major side hustle. So when they clients came to get their hair done, they'd be like, okay, I love your shoes. And I'd be like, oh, I've got
pairs. I've got some. Do you want to buy some?
But that's why, I think, because obviously we also need to talk about the brand, this and that, but your product.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The pomade.
I have a whole stuff for you,
pomade.
We need to get her in that new product. Oh, you're going to be
You need to tell me.
Salt scrub.
You're going to
love it.
I do need to talk to you because I'm thinking about growing it back.
We said this, right?
We did.
You've got such beautiful face.
I think I'm ready for hair again.
So and now
stunning.
We know what you let go of when you shaved it. Yeah. It's time to bring in that new batch.
Oh my God, I might cry.
It's
going to
be awesome.
It's going to be deep.
It's going
to be so deep. But I'll talk to you after because I have a plan. Just
okay.
Product. I think maybe with your side hustling acumen, the way you approach things, that's why so early we have books and we have products and the salon and the charity.
Yeah.
I think it's great. She's a dodgy dealer as well.
Maybe it's a Gemini thing.
Oh, you Gemini? Yeah. When's your birthday?
May 22nd.
Oh, shut up. I'm the 26th. I'm sick.
We dodgy said it. Geminis. That's what you are. There's 4 of you dodgy bitches here.
You've got to keep it moving.
We've got to keep
it never
moving.
I never do one thing. I always have a few things going on. If I do one thing, I get a bit unsettled.
Yeah.
It's not natural.
I mean, I always still come back to the hair, but I like doing lots and lots.
There's a root, but then I like to, little
things. And you kind of make it all work because you do it with so much love. Because they will come to me and say, how do you do it? You always seem so lively. And I'm like, because I love it.
Yeah.
I don't see this as, you know, when I made money, good. If I don't, I'm still okay.
Still okay.
It's something in my heart that is giving me joy.
Yeah.
I love seeing people happy. I love laughing.
Transforming a moment for another person. Like you do it with your hair. I do it with food. You know, and it gives me such joy to put something in front of someone. I see them take the first bite and their face changes.
Isn't
I'm like,
it? Yeah. Yes.
I do it with skipping.
You're doing it with
I can't wait for us to do the skipping.
That's next.
Because I want us to do it with the charity. Yeah.
Oh,
so
it's going to
be amazing.
God. I would love that. Bring ropes.
We'll do under the tree in Ghana. Oh,
you know,
my God.
You know what I wanted to talk about, actually, is your tenacity.
Oh.
Because, I mean, honestly, we did our research before you were coming. And when I found out that when you first went down Portobello, when this was in the 90s,
right? Yeah, the 90s.
And you were trying to rent a shop. You couldn't get a shot.
No
one would give you a shot.
This was, I'm talking about 1996.
This is the
my
other
son,
day,
I
okay?
I had my son in 1992. Do you know what? I tried and tried and tried. They were like, oh, he's gone. And I'm like, but the sign is still up.
Right.
So I had to get a white friend to ring up the shop that I'm in now.
What, to say that they were actually interested?
Yes.
Whoa.
And that's,
how you got it?
But before that, I was in a business centre because I couldn't get the shop.
I hope they see you now. I hope they know exactly who's
like,
that
miss
shop.
That money. That's like Pretty Woman, do you know what I mean? Yeah, oh, exactly. Big mistake.
It was so weird. I just think to myself, but I've already been in business. I've been in a business centre. I have a business plan.
You know what you're doing.
I've got my own money. I've got money from the bank. Why can't I have the shop?
We just went back for in the summer. My mum's been making a TV show about
the area.
Different communities around England. Yeah. And then did one about Grove. And then she was like, look, if we're going to do Labrador Grove, I've got to do it with my kids.
Yes.
Talk about what happened. And we were so surprised by how much community we found.
Yes.
I was really happy and I was really relieved because I was like, I don't know what it's going to be like going back because I don't know anyone there anymore.
There was
and then
well
we went up in Goulburn and by Trellick.
Yeah.
And I was like, the spirit is alive and well.
It is very alive there.
Very much so.
That's one thing about that area though. There is that connection.
There is that connection. I was just so pleased that it was still there because that part of that area grew me and kept mum alive.
Like, yeah.
That community,
that the way it was there, like you're saying, Tabernacle, Portobello, that market, that sort of
Acklam,
Acklam. I was talking about even just like
Carnival, like under the Westway,
under the Westway Carnival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Mastermind, a Carnival,
Rap Attack.
Stop it,
how did we never shack out a Carnival together?
So we must have done.
We must have.
Probably did. Yeah.
Oh my
that
God.
That was the time. And also, like, basically, even going to subterranean rotation.
I know. I was left at home, but I remember. I know that's where she was going.
That was the thing.
I saw Bootsy Collins playing Subterranean.
I remember dancing with Foxy Brown. And just like being like, oh my God. And it was like, people were just happy. It wasn't all this taking pictures every minute.
Just got on
they
with
were
it.
Involved with like chatting to you. Hey, girl.
It was the best.
Oh my God, it was the best.
I really give thanks for that.
Honestly.
My youth sort of thing.
Honestly.
And you being there like, around that time in that neighbourhood.
Yeah.
Because it really gave me heart energy.
It did.
And actually, the way you do your work, now I understand
now
more.
I get it.
That's why I feel like I know you so well.
Yes.
Even though I don't know you that well. But now I do.
Like, I know you, like, when even Makita came, I was like, your mum, honestly, she's just the best. And, like, I feel like we're just so similar.
Yeah. From two people out here working hard to do things in this world for ourselves and other people, and to you who I feel see doing all that beautiful work. Just thank you for coming to our table today.
Sister. I love this. I feel like it can go on. I've come to this
end. Yeah.
I don't want it to end.
It doesn't need to end. They can stop recording.
No,
we can
amazing.
Stay here. We can stop right here.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to pack up food for your daughter.
Yeah.
Now we can start that relationship that we all think we've had already.
Already.
Is that like, really?
I've felt like we are all part of a movement. And that felt really, do you know what I mean? That felt really good. Like what she said about watching our films and the work that we do, I feel the same about watching her and the work that she does. So it felt like being part of the change that's happening in this country that is all embracing and all encompassing, you know, despite what certain factions may have us thinking about or want us to believe, this country is on the turn for the good in so many ways. And it made me feel like we are all part of that good and that shift. And nobody can't tell us no different.
No, it's a bit like unstoppable time, isn't it?
Yes.
So for me, meeting someone like Charlotte and having her around our table and in our home, it makes me realise that it really is from the roots up what you do.
That's where change happens.
Yes, she started this incredible charity under a tree.
I know.
With three people.
Named after her mum, who's called Love. I mean, just she says things and I go, I'm going to let her grow my hair. This is a big deal.
I know it is. And also, I think you were waiting for the right hands to do it with, you know?
She was talking to me. She kept looking at my head, right?
I think we found out.
She's looking at it and I can see she really wants to get involved with my hair.
Like,
I'm going to let her do it.
Okay, all right.
Big things.
Oh, it's huge.
Big things.
All right, so this time next year we'll know that today was the day you decided to grow
hair. Watch this head.
Watch this head. Under the safe
guidance and protection of Charlotte Mensah, you are ready to grow your hair.
I'm
and that's,
ready.
That's what she does. See, you're in.
I'm in. Sold.
That's how she got 500 customers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.